Advent, and we're going to continue this series through Easter. We're going from the cradle to the cross, looking at people who were drawn to Jesus while he was on this earth. Today we're going to look at two people who are not in the manger scene, but who had a very special moment with the baby Jesus. We're going to look at Simeon and Anna. We refer to them that way as Simeon and Anna, not because they were married, but because they were part of the same event. Our text is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage, and if you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing this is His holy, inspired Word. And we read, "And when the time came for their verse 21, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.' Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." I'm going to add one more verse as well. The next verse, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth." I add that verse simply because we're going to see how important that phrase is, according to the law of the Lord. Let's bow together. Father God Almighty, thank you for your word. We ask you now to help us to understand it, and not only understand it, but to apply it, to live accordingly. Be gracious to us this morning by your word, by your spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm calling my first overall point this morning, the event explained. I'm starting with this point because we see practices in this passage that we're not familiar with. Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby, just like Maddox and Memphis were brought here to church today. But the specific practices we see in the text is not what we did this morning. These practices are different. So to appreciate what's happening in this passage, I'm going to explain the event which involves the fulfillment of the law. That's an important aspect of this passage. That's why I read that additional verse, the fulfillment of the law. I can quickly demonstrate this by showing you verses 22 through 27. You probably can't read most of that passage that's on the screen because the font is small. What I'm doing you is showing that the law is mentioned four times in these verses. Different phrases are used: the law of Moses, the law of the Lord, the custom of the law. But all of those phrases refer to the laws of the Old Testament. This passage is showing us that all of the laws given by God to the people through Moses were completely, exactly fulfilled. They were kept entirely. That is being shown in this text because that is part of the saving work of Christ Jesus. Before we witness baptism this morning, I read to you Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Look at those verses again. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's a very significant statement about Jesus, about why He was born. He was born to fulfill all of the law on our behalf so that He could redeem us from the condemnation of the law. Jesus was conceived and born a baby to fulfill the law from conception in the womb all the way on because we've failed to do so. Today we acknowledged that Maddox and Memphis are sinful. They were born in sin. And Cole and Cassandra will see their sin. Their grandparents won't. But Cole and Cassandra have and will continue to see their sinful nature. Jesus is different. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was born under the law to completely, perfectly fulfill the law in our place from conception on. And our text, we're seeing that happen from the very beginning of Jesus' life. That's being emphasized. There are three laws mentioned in the text. First of all, circumcision is mentioned. Verse 21 tells us that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. That is exact fulfillment of what the law requires. I gave a sermon on circumcision about a month ago, explaining that circumcision was the sign of the covenant in the Old Testament. It was a sign that involved real flesh, real blood, because Christ had not yet shed His blood. Today, baptism has replaced that sign. Baptism is now the sign and seal of the covenant. The sign no longer involves real flesh and real blood because Christ has come and shed His blood. Since Jesus was born under all the Jewish Old Testament laws, well, He had to fulfill that law regarding circumcision, and He did. He was circumcised on the eighth day. That's one law we see in our passage. A second law mentioned in our passage concerns purification. Purification. The beginning of verse 22 says, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. The law being referenced is explained in Leviticus chapter 12. It is a law specifically concerning Mary, the mother. There were purification requirements after the birth of male babies as well as after the birth of female babies. Concerning male babies, we read this in Leviticus chapter 12. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. They did that with Jesus. Our text tells us that. Leviticus goes on to say, Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. Since Jesus was a male baby, 33 days had to go by. And skipping down to verse 6 in that chapter, we read, "And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, a year old, for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering." And there we see that this sacrifice was required at that time. And skipping down a little farther, we read, "And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." And that was the case for Joseph and Mary. They could not afford a lamb, so they brought two turtle doves. The laws of purification is what verse 22 of our text is all about. Mary and Joseph were sinful. We talked about that a week ago. Mary and Joseph were sinful. They needed to bring the sacrifice of atonement. And we see that happen in our text. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. 33 days later, a purification offering had to be offered. In our text, the plural pronoun there is used, because Joseph, as a head of the household, was responsible for Mary. What we're seeing here is that Jesus had parents, father and mother, who fulfilled the law. Because the overarching point is that Jesus completely fulfilled the law, so we see his parents fulfilling the law. And the third law being fulfilled regards the redemption of a firstborn son. Jesus was not being dedicated in this text as some churches practice today. He was a firstborn son being redeemed. Our text says they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. I will not read all the Old Testament passages concerning that. I will simply say that this goes back to what happened in Egypt. The last plague that fell on Egypt was the death of the firstborn sons. All the firstborn sons, including the son of Pharaoh, died when that plague fell on them. The Israelites, however, were spared from that plague. They took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorposts of their homes, and their firstborn sons did not die. After that event, God required a sacrifice to redeem firstborn sons. Mary and Joseph were fulfilling that law as well, which means the Redeemer of the world was redeemed. Not because he was sinful, but because he was fulfilling the law in place of all who would be redeemed. This passage shows us that from the earliest moments of Jesus' life, he fulfilled the law in its entirety. That's important to understand because God is a holy, just God. God does not save by ignoring sin. God saves by becoming a man and fulfilling the law in our place so that he, a sinless man, might then die in our place. Jesus' whole life was an act to save us. His whole life was our salvation. Every moment of his life was our salvation. The more I preach, the more I teach, the more I dig into God's word, the more I am amazed at God's sovereign plan of salvation. Listen, there is no other religion in which justice is completely met, the law completely fulfilled, and salvation is entirely by grace. The good news of Jesus is absolutely extraordinary. There is sure hope in Christ because of what he came to do for us. That's what this passage is mainly showing us. He fulfilled the law. Now, with that event understood, let's look at the people involved. This will be my next overall point, the people involved. Joseph and Mary had a surprise waiting for them at the temple. They met some people they didn't know. There was a man named Simeon at the temple. There was a woman named Anna. And both of them were given by God this joy of seeing the Savior. The Savior when he was a baby. We're told in our text that Simeon was given a personal promise from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Christ, the Messiah. In verses 26 and 27, we read, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord Christ, and he came in the Spirit into the temple." That's a remarkable statement about Simeon. Realize that this was before Pentecost. The Holy Spirit did not fill believers at this time, as the Holy Spirit does now after Pentecost. But the Spirit was very much at work in Simeon's life. We see that here. Through the Spirit, Simeon received the amazing promise that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. That's an awesome promise. It would be like God telling one of us, "You're not going to die until you see Jesus come again on the clouds. You will live until you see the return of Jesus." Now, hearing that promise from God, that would really change your view of life, wouldn't it? That would be pretty staggering to hear that promise. To fulfill his promise to Simeon, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple the very day Jesus was brought there by his parents. What a wonderful, exciting day that was for Simeon. And Anna also had a wonderful day. Anna was already at the temple, for we are told she did not depart from it. And somehow she knew that this baby being brought to the temple by his parents, that he was the Messiah. When Joseph, Mary, and Jesus arrived to fulfill the law, she started giving thanks to God for Jesus. She knew who the baby was, and she was filled with joy. So both Simeon and Anna were treated with this wonderful privilege from God. And in the text, we clearly see two reasons why they were drawn to Jesus in this way. Two reasons. One, they were devout believers. The word devout is used of Simeon, along with the word righteous. Verse 25 of our text says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout." That tells us a lot about Simeon's heart and character. And in Anna, we see her devotion and righteousness. Listen to verse 37. "She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day." That statement makes it crystal clear that Anna was righteous and devout. Her passion was for God. She got up each and every day for Him alone. Now, please realize this devoutness, this personal, active righteousness is something we've already seen in this series of sermons. On the first Sunday of Advent, we learned that Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were devout, righteous believers, committed to obeying the law, and they were given the special gift of John the Baptist. Last Sunday, we learned that Joseph and Mary were devout, righteous believers who immediately obeyed when God's message came to them via the angels. They were given the amazing gift of being the parents of Jesus. And now, we see and hear in the text that Simeon and Anna were righteous and devout, and they were given the special privilege of seeing the baby Jesus. This is not coincidence. Please realize that when we open up the New Testament and begin to learn about people, we see that how we live matters. We see God using righteous people, people who believed His word. We see how we live matters. Wealth doesn't matter. Joseph and Mary were poor. Place in society doesn't matter. The shepherds were lowly. What nation you are from doesn't matter. The wise men were foreigners. But belief, obedience, righteousness, we're seeing that matters. I submit to you, there was actually little devoutness, righteousness amongst the Jewish people when Jesus was born. I submit to you, righteous people like Simeon and Anna were uncommon. They weren't the only ones, but it was uncommon. Think about what we see in the New Testament. One group of people we constantly see are called the Sadducees. Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They did not believe in angels, which means they ignored major portions in the Old Testament scriptures. Just like today, we have scholars and pastors who do not handle well the Word of God. They twist it however they want to twist it. Well, that's what the Sadducees were doing. They didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And they were influential leaders in that Jewish society. And another group we constantly see in the New Testament are the Pharisees. The Pharisees had developed their own laws. They were trusting in their salvation via obedience to the laws they had defined, they had created. They were not obeying the law of God. They were obeying their own man-made laws. They thought of themselves as holy because of their man-made laws. And they too were guiding people. They were influencing the Jewish people. And you also had a blatantly sinful segment of Jewish society. For instance, you had the tax collectors who were merely focused on making money. Dear friends, the Jewish society Jesus was born into was not spiritually healthy. There were not many righteous, devout people. But by God's sovereign, gracious plan, there are always some. In every age, there are always some. There are always some who love God and gladly pick up His word, believe it, and obey it. Their hope is in God, and they go hard after God. And what we've been seeing in this series of sermons is that God blessed such people. That's what we're seeing today in Simeon and Anna. They were righteous and devout, and God blessed them. Now, God didn't owe them anything. Please hear that. God did not owe them anything. And they knew God didn't owe them anything. Simeon and Anna were not trying to earn God's blessing. And they were saved entirely by grace. And they were responding to that grace in their lives. They were enjoying God. They were loving God. They trusted in God. They knew God keeps His promises. And God was delighted to bless them. God was delighted to give them an amazing privilege for that who is who God is. How we live matters. How we respond to God's amazing grace, that matters. When you go hard after God, when you seek God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, when you immediately obey God, well, God is delighted to bless you. He's delighted to draw you close to Him. Regarding what we are seeing and learning in this series, let me read you a passage from the book of James. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Just let that last sentence sink in. Draw near to God. It's an action. It's a command. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's an excellent passage for this series of sermons. how we respond to God's amazing grace, it matters. When we draw near to God, He draws near to us. I submit to you, there are not many people doing that when Jesus was born. Simeon and Anna were. They went hard after God, they drew near to God, and God drew near to them. And when we read of Simeon and Anna and Joseph and Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth, we should be encouraged to do the same. This week we're leaving behind the 2010s. We're entering into the 2020s. The wisest resolution you can make is to go hard after God, draw near to Him. You do that by meditating on His Word, praying over His Word, obeying His Word. It's that simple. There are not mystical codes or practices you have to know. There are no secret prayers you have to learn. If you want God to draw near to you, then draw near to Him. Pick up His holy word. Learn of Him. Love Him. Trust in His promises. Speak with Him. Pray to Him. Obey Him. Devote yourself to Him. Am I saying we have to live at church without leaving it, like Anna did? You know, do we all need to camp out here in the building and pray and fast every day? The answer to that question is, of course, no. For the sake of the custodians, I'll even emphasize that. No, you don't have to camp out here, okay? Even Simeon didn't do that. Anna had a unique calling in her later life. The simple point here is that righteous living, loving God, practicing what the Bible says, that's wise. That's wise. That's wise living. If you draw near to God in faith, recognizing His grace, He'll draw near to you. Make that your highest priority in the 2020s. It's one reason Simeon and Anna were given this special privilege from God. And another reason, a connected reason, is this. They were waiting for the Messiah. Simeon and Anna were anticipating the fulfillment of God's promise to send the Messiah. They knew that was the only true hope for the world. They knew there was nothing more important than the coming of the Messiah. They knew that ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, the world has needed the Messiah. They were waiting for that day with glad expectation. The promise of the Messiah is what filled them with hope. Look at what verse 25 says about Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. This was his focus. Simeon was waiting for redemption for the Messiah to come. Anna was as well. That expectation, that focus made a difference in their lives. When you know the Messiah is coming, when you live and you plan your life with that absolute reality in mind, will it help you live a devout, righteous life because you're focused on Christ and the coming kingdom? When you think about Jesus' arrival and you live for His arrival, will it help you be ready for His arrival? And that's how we should be living. Listen to what Jesus Himself says in Matthew chapter 24. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware. Just let those words sink in. They were unaware. Oh, how dangerous that is. They were unaware until the flood came. Swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Being focused on the truth that Jesus is arriving and that his arrival will be the most significant event in all of history and that we need to be ready for that event, well, that changes how you live. If you want to increase your personal righteousness this coming year and throughout the 2020s, then remind yourself daily, Christ is coming again. One day those clouds are going to break open and the world is going to see this amazing event. It's going to happen. He could come very soon. One of the signs of Christ's return is the preaching of the gospel to all nations. And that goal is being achieved. During the 2020s, the gospel will be printed in every single language. They're focusing on that. They're making it happen through God's grace. That is something to think about. That gives us reason to realize, wow, Jesus could come very soon. There might not be a 2030. There are other reasons as well to conclude that, but I won't go into those today. Simeon and Anna, they were waiting with expectation, excited expectation of the coming Messiah, and the Lord blessed them. He will bless all who are waiting for his return as well. That's something to think about and respond to, especially when you take note of the words said about Jesus in our passage. This is my last overall point this morning. The words said about Jesus. As Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms, he said, quote, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel." The fall and the rising. In that statement, we see that we will either live through Christ or we will die under his rule. Jesus is the King of kings. Nothing will change that. He is the only Savior of the world. We will either live through him, rise with him, or we will die under his rule, die eternally. You are either for Jesus or you are against Jesus. You are either in his kingdom or you are outside of his kingdom. If you are in his kingdom, you will rise and you will live. If you are outside of his kingdom, you will fall. You will fall into hell forever. Those are the only two options. There is no neutral ground with Jesus. Therefore, in the world, we often see violence against Jesus. We saw Jesus crucified. We have seen his people persecuted throughout the years. It's getting worse. Simeon speaks of that. Simeon goes on to say to Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Because people are either for Jesus or against Jesus, there will always be attacks on Christ Jesus. Mary saw him crucified. We've seen many people persecuted. We've heard about persecution. Christ carried a cross. All who follow him will carry a cross. Mary needed to know that having the Messiah as her son, it would not be easy. It was a great blessing, but it would not be easy. She was going to experience a lot of painful moments, and she did. And we need to know that as well. Following Christ is not easy, but it is right. It is wise. It is life. In the end, all who love him and follow him will rise. What happens to you in the 220s and beyond will not ultimately be decided by your bank account or your stocks and bonds. It won't be decided by your occupation, your education, your spouse, your exercise, how well you eat. Those things will not determine what ultimately happens in your life in the 2020s and beyond. What will ultimately decide is your relationship with Jesus. You will either follow him and rise, or you will oppose him and die. Given that thought, seeing that thought, let's respond well today. Let's respond well today. Let's respond well every day. Let's respond well through the new year, through the new decade. Enjoying the amazing grace of God. Let's love him. Let's enjoy him. Let's be devout. Let's be righteous. Let's go hard after him. Let's draw near to him, waiting for the Lord's return. That should be our response. As I said earlier, next week, Lord willing, the table of the Lord will be set before us. Search your hearts. Bend your knee to Christ. Come next week ready to partake with gladness. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son Jesus into this world. Thank you for his willingness to come. Thank you that he came born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem we who are under the law. How amazing it is to see him from early moments fulfilling the law on our behalf. We thank you, we praise you. And we thank you that after fulfilling the law, living a sinless life, he then willingly took upon his own shoulders the condemnation of our sin, the curse of our sin, the death we deserve. Thank you for his life, thank you for his death, thank you for his resurrection, thank you for his ascension, thank you that we know he is coming again. May our hearts be ready. May our lives be ready. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.